The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Our 5 on 551. Now, the new Hustlers film starring Jennifer Lopez, Cardi B and many others is in cinemas now. It tells the story of a crew of strippers in New York who set up an elaborate scam to trick wealthy men out of huge amounts of money. It's all based on an article that journalist Jessica Pressler wrote back in 2015. Jessica is a contributing editor of New York Magazine and she's in a studio in New York to talk to us this afternoon. How are you doing, Jessica?
Hi, good. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for doing this for us.
Thanks for having me.
Great to talk to you. Very exciting that your article was the inspiration for a movie, and all the reviews have been brilliant for it.
Yes, it is very exciting. It's been quite happy making.
Yes, were you at the premiere and all that, all the glitz and glamour?
I was. I was at the premiere at the Toronto Film Festival.
Have you met Jennifer Lopez?
Very briefly.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
She's brilliant.
She kind of has a crowd around her at all times.
Does she? Yes. They call it an entourage, I think, do they?
Yeah.
There's murmurs of an Oscar for Jennifer Lopez for her performance.
Yeah. Her performance is something to behold. She really went with it.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Okay, so back to the real life story then. How did you first encounter it?
So strip clubs, I don't know if you guys have strip
clubs. We don't. No, we don't.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. So it's very much an American and a phenomenon institution, really, especially in New York City, these like gentlemen's clubs, go-go bars, jiggle joints. The New York City tabloids have all of these kind of great names for them. Mm. And they've kind of just been part of the fabric of the city for, you know, probably like since World War II, like 100 years possibly. And Times Square, you know, is famous. Everybody's seen like those like live nude neon signs and all of that. But probably like in the 90s, I would say there was a period where strip clubs kind of became very mainstream in New York. There was this weird cultural moment where kind of third wave feminism and women kind of wanting to claim their sexuality came together and people sort of started recognizing that the dancing that they were doing on poles was actually very athletic and amazing, and it became kind of a sport. And in New York, this very high-end strip club opened. This is like late 90s, called Scores. And Scores was this very, it was like the biggest gentleman's club, you know, in New York and possibly in the country. It built itself as like a steakhouse that had just beautiful women. The dancers there were like models, but like kind of like wholesome, like cheerleaders. They wore gowns. Howard Stern, who was this very popular radio host at the time, talked about it all the time. He always went there. Celebrities went there. They were photographed there. Going there became kind of a thing, and some dancers became really famous. There was like reality shows based on them. It just became a thing. It was like this sort of cheerful sexist thing everybody participated in.
And what do you think about that, looking back on those times?
Well, it's really interesting, right? It's so interesting. I mean, people were making a ton of money is the thing. Like, there was just a ton of money. I think at the time, strip clubs in the U.S., I think I read it was like a $3 billion industry. It was a huge amount of money.
And what way was the pay structure? How did the dancers make their money?
Right. So the dancers made their money through tips, but then they also had to tip out all of the other people that worked in the club. And in some clubs, the dancers had to actually pay, you know, a floor fee to work there. So you'd pay like $200 a night just to have the opportunity to make money off of tips.
And then men would place, what, $20 bills in their underwear? What way did it work?
Yes, they would place $20 bills in their underwear and their G-strings and their boots, and they'd, you know, throw it on the floor. And there was it was just kind of really making it rain, as they say. That's kind of where it started.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so we have this lady, Rosie Keough. So she would have worked in Scores or in Hustlers or both?
Right. So Rosie, who's the main character in the story, she started dancing kind of during this boom time, kind of mid, early 2000s, late 90s. And so she got into the game like when it was at its height. And then things changed, as they do, where you have a business where there's a ton of cash, criminal activity starts happening, there's drugs get involved, there's a lot of mafia involved in strip clubs in New York. There were some drug busts. Things started to kind of take a turn. And then the financial crisis happened in 2008. And that was really kind of the nail in the coffin of this industry. And business just fell off a cliff.
Okay. Just to go back to the movie for a moment, because you are in the movie, as in somebody plays you, which is...
Right. Sort of me.
Yeah. Well, so that question you've been asked over a few drinks was, if there was a movie made about your life, who would you like to play you? So who plays you?
Julia Stiles plays me, and I hadn't thought of it, so it was such a delight when I found out. I was like, oh, that's so perfect.
Yeah.
I usually get told Cameron Diaz.
Uh-huh.
Something about our facial structure.
The reason you're featured is that the director spotted the friendship between you and this stripper, Rosie Keough, and that's part of the movie, the plot of the movie. So you've befriended her after everything happened, but are you quite close to her?
Reporting the article was a very long process. I think I worked on it for over a year, kind of off and on, and we were in touch the whole time.
Okay.
And you know, it's an emotional sort of thing to share with another person these details of your life, and I think like we did become close in a way, and yes, we definitely are still in touch. She has a memoir out now. She definitely want me to mention that. It's called The Sophisticated Hustler.
Amazon. Right.
Yeah.
So let's get to the hustle then, because when she went back to work after having a child, things had changed, as you said.
Right.
There was the crash, the financial crash, and it was more difficult for everybody involved to make money. So she went back and she encountered, well, she had met Samantha before, but Samantha was doing something differently now.
Right.
This is the character. This is the character who's played by Jennifer Lopez.
She's called Ramona in the movie, and Rosie is Destiny.
Okay.
So as we know of capitalism, people who are used to making money don't like to suddenly make less money. So after the business kind of started falling off a cliff after 2008, you know, Wall Street guys did not want to be seen at strip clubs. It was like a ghost town. So they had to get creative, as they say. And what Samantha was doing was marketing, also called fishing. They would kind of go out to bars and restaurants and, you know, buy guys rounds of shots and then be like, hey, let's go to a strip club. And they'd bring them back to Scores. Allegedly, or I guess I can say they pled guilty to it now, eventually... you know, guys would catch on. There were a lot of different women doing this. They didn't want to go to the strip club. They would just maybe slip a little bit of a mixture of drugs in their drinks, MDMA and ketamine.
What effect would that have on the men?
So the ketamine kind of like knocked them out, and before that, the Molly, the ecstasy, made them happy.
Right.
And they would just hand over their wallets and they could, you know, swipe them or have other people swipe them or run them through this machine that they had at clubs called Scores, which is called like the Diamond Dollars machine, where you basically buy, instead of an ATM, you buy these like club dollars.
Oh, yes.
You can, it's kind of like tokens kind of.
Okay. So these were mainly guys who worked on Wall Street, a lot of money and very brash type guys. So they brought them back and then they drugged them and then defrauded them of their money.
Pretty much, yes. They would run up their credit cards and kind of just or cash out the diamond dollars and or use the apps on their phones, I think they had going at some point. Yeah.
In the trial, there was a figure of 200,000 mentioned, but that was only over a space of 3 months. So I'd imagine it must have went into millions, did it? Over
Well, what was really interesting is that the police could not get a lot of the victims to press charges.
I wonder why.
Right. They did not want to admit to this having happened to them for a variety of reasons.
Yes. And this is, you say it in your article. So there was a bind for the, and they knew this. I'll just read this. Rosie had to hand it to Samantha. She was convincing. She's ruthless, she said, with admiration. She belongs on Wall Street. Even if the guy wasn't buying it, once he had weighed the cost of filing a formal complaint against us, of telling his wife and the police what he actually had done, he'd conclude it was too steep. That's why this works so well, said Rosie.
There's a great line in the movie where Jennifer Lopez's character says something like, you had an epic night. It cost you money. Why should it cost you more? And that's kind of the calculus that was happening.
Yeah. So you'd men who weren't breaking the law but may have been unfaithful to their wives and maybe spending money that they shouldn't have spent. It could have been on a company credit card. And then you had these hustlers, these women who had worked out a nearly perfect system of embezzling money from victims that they drugged. And it's sort of, you don't know whose side to come down on, really, do you?
It's tricky. It is tricky. There's definitely, like, you know, instances, I'm sure, where there was mutual culpability. I mean, one of the things that Rosie said to me and Samantha said to me early on is, you know, they weren't just giving people drugs who had never taken drugs. These people, you know, were taking drugs. They were spending money. They would spend certain amounts of money. It was just kind of like a little extra. But it did kind of get a little bit out of control. Yes, progressively was more.
Of course, they were breaking the law. The men were not breaking the law. You know, in the strict sense.
Right.
What do you think? How did you feel about the men after talking to Rosie? Did you interview any of the men?
Yes. So it was so interesting. You know, I had pretty much the same experience that the police had, where I called a couple of these people and they just hung up on me, which doesn't really happen that often. Or they'd say, like, I don't know what you're talking about, in a very, like, strange voice, and just hang up the phone. So it was hard finding people that this had happened to. But sort of over time, well, I should say that some of the people were not very sympathetic. Some of them was, there was one story where it was like, oh, that guy, you know, bit our friend, like, all right, over her body and drew right blood. You know, it was like they weren't always the best people. They had a lot of horror stories, like that one guy chased us around his mansion in our underwear in the snow, like outside of his mansion in Connecticut. You know, kind of terrible stories. That said, I do think that, like, over time, and Rosie admits this in the story and in life, they got a little bit greedy. They started victimizing people who were not terrible people. And one of them was, he's called Fred in the article, he's Doug in the movie, he has so many different names at this point. And he was a very sad case where he was just going out. His friends had brought him out to this club just to kind of blow off steam after all of these bad things had happened. His house was flooded. He got a divorce. It was just, he was having a bad time. And he was in the market for a relationship that was transactional, like, because he didn't have a lot to give emotionally. So that was how he kind of got to know these women. And then, you know, they did their thing with his credit cards, and he, you know, was totally broke, and then he got fired from his job because it was his corporate credit card that they had maxed out. There was, like, an internal investigation. He got put on a list. It was hard for him to get another job. His life was just kind of destroyed by this. And I have to imagine there are other, maybe not as dramatic, but similar cases where, I mean, losing, you know, $50,000.
He was the guy who taped a conversation and eventually brought it to the police, and the police took heed, and that's why they were brought to court.
You know, I actually don't know that he was the person.
Oh, he wasn't
there. That's in the movie.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I'm not positive. Yeah.
You're not positive. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they weren't Robin Hood type figures. They didn't steal from the rich and give to the poor. They stole from the rich and kept it for themselves.
I don't know. know. You know, it's funny. Somebody put that headline ended up in the story that they were Robin Hood figures, and I kind of rolled my eyes for the same reason. But I do think that there is something to be said for they were taking back some kind of respect or you know, that wasn't afforded them. They were kind of the underdog in this situation. Yeah. They were, you know.
Just before we let you go, Jessica, sure. How did Rosie react to the movie?
It was hard. It was hard for her to watch. There are, you know, it's fictionalized, so there are things in it that are very true, and then there are things that are quite different. Like she never picked. Yeah. Okay. So right. It was hard, but I think she's embraced it and she's pretty happy with it overall.
Okay. Right. Fascinating stuff. Jessica Pressler, contributing editor of New York Magazine. Thanks so much for talking to us this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye now. Sarah McInerney is presenting Drive Time today. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. It's pajama time.